if we look at any objective standard, we live in the wealthiest country in the world. Even those in America who struggle have it better off than most people in other parts of the world. We live in the land of more. And in the land of more, many of us get ourselves into trouble because we spend money we don't have for things we don't need to impress people we don't even know. Money can be good for a lot of things, but there's a lot of things money can't do. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy books, but not intellect. Money can buy fun, but not fulfillment. Money can buy travel, but not to heaven. And as we open this series, I want to point your attention to a very significant scripture passage, something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He said, our heart follows our money. So if you really want to know what's important to someone, look at the bank statement. It'll tell you a lot. In verse 24 of Matthew 6, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus talked a lot more about how we handle our money than he did about heaven or hell, because it's a challenging thing for most people. But as we begin today's message, I want to take you back in time to the nation of Egypt. God's people had been enslaved by a Pharaoh who remembered not Joseph and his descendants. Many of the Hebrew slaves built a lot of the monuments in Egypt. But after 430 years of slavery, God heard the cries of his people and he sent a deliverer, Moses. And Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's house, but when he realized he was actually a Hebrew slave, he saw a slave master who was beating a Hebrew and he killed him. People had seen and he was exiled from Egypt. There in Midian on the mountain of God, he met the Lord, and the Lord sent him to free the people from slavery. And as they left Egypt and they got to the shores of the Red Sea, and they were being trapped against it by the Egyptian army, and God parted the waters, and the people walked through on dry ground. They went to the Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and there God gave them his commandments. And then they were instructed to build a tabernacle in the center of their camp, and God would come and visit them there. But before the people crossed into the promised land, Moses wrote some very important messages from the Lord. And today I want us to begin to look at one of those messages from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 156. We're going to start with verses 1 to 5, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to keep your Bibles open there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good." So Moses shares some significant things here, but he wants the people to remember the Lord. He brought you out of this land of slavery in Egypt. He led you through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. He fed you with daily rations of manna. He preserved your clothing. He protected your feet. How would you like it if you were able to get clothes that lasted for 40 years? You didn't have to replace them. I know some of you'd get tired of the style after a while, but man, that is amazing. But Moses is saying, people, remember what God did for you. He fed you. He clothed you. Let's pick it up in verse 6. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So he tells the people not only to remember the Lord and what he's done for you, but then he says, make sure to obey the Lord. Walk in his ways. It's the way to show reverence and respect to God. He says to praise the Lord for all he's done for you. A few chapters earlier in chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, he said, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. And you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in Egypt. You must fear the Lord and serve him. You know, I think the reason that Moses challenged the people with that is when we need God, we desperately cry out to him. But when we get comfortable, we can forget and we can become lax in our following him. Moses is reminding the people, don't forget the Lord who rescued you. Let's pick it up in verse 11. But that is the time to be careful. Be aware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you will also be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. So Moses ends this message with a stern warning. He says, beware that in your plenty you don't forget the Lord your God. Be careful that you don't become proud of all you've achieved and accomplished. In verse 17 specifically, he said, he did all of this so that you would never say to yourself, I've achieved this wealth by my own energy and strength. In verse 18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Moses told the people repeatedly that they were to obey all that God had commanded them, but to do it as an expression that they were fully committed to God. How they responded to God's generosity would indicate whether He was their Lord and King or not, and whether they would receive His blessings or not. Today we live in a place much like that one. It's the land of more. And in the land of more, there's a simple formula for improving your spiritual and financial health that consists of four biblical principles. We're going to talk about these over the next few weeks. The first one is gratitude. The second is contentment. The third is trust. And the final is humility. And so today we want to talk about the first of these, the attitude of gratitude. This attitude of gratitude begins by acknowledging the simple truth that God owns and controls everything He's created. And that means He is the source of everything that we have. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 17, David's going to be speaking. He has been the king. He's won many battles. He wants to build a temple to God so that they no longer have to live in the temporary tabernacle. But God said, no, you're not going to be the one to build it, but your son will. And so David made the preparations. But look what he says. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your direction people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here only for a moment, visitors and strangers in this land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord, our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I've done all this with good motives, and I've watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. Wow, pretty awesome. And you see, if we fail to acknowledge that God is the generous source of all that we have, we will never get our financial house in order. We may be physically fit, but we will never be fiscally fit until we eagerly admit that God owns everything that He's given to us. Not long ago, I read a book called The ABCs of Financial Freedom by Barry Cameron. And he tells this story about a man who took his son to McDonald's and he bought him some fries. The little boy loved French fries. And as he's eating his fries, his dad reached over to take one, and his son put his hands around the fries and pulled him to himself. And the father said, does he realize I'm the one that bought those fries for him? Does he realize I could go back and bring him more? But in this little boy's mind, those fries were his, even though they'd been given by his father. And Barry Cameron says, in the same way, many of us are like that with our Heavenly Father. He's given us so much, and sometimes we want to keep it for ourselves. Once we acknowledge that God's the source of everything we have, then we have to respond in a way that honors Him. But you know, we as a human race don't have a very good history of doing that. Think about it. Adam and Eve, first man and woman, Garden of Eden, luscious paradise. They could eat anything in the garden they wanted, except God put one restriction. You can eat of any tree except that one. And what did they do? They ate from that tree. More was never enough for Adam and Eve, and they did not respond in a way that honored the Lord. Same thing happened to the people we read about who were in Egypt. Joseph was the one whose brothers sold him into slavery, and then later when there was a famine, they came to Egypt to get food. Joseph invited them to stay, and the people grew too numerous, and that's when the Pharaoh enslaved them. And when God came and released them from slavery, they were in the wilderness, and many of them wanted to go back. They didn't like wandering in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt. The more that God gave them was never enough. They too did not respond in a way that honors the Lord. But God is calling His people to live with a heart of gratitude. Now in the 1500s, the great reformer Martin Luther said something very important about our conversion. He said, technically there's three conversions. The conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and you know what the third one was? The conversion of the purse. Three important conversions that take place. Now in Luke 16, verses 10 to 13, there's an interesting parable about a man who was a steward of his master's resources, and he had not acted very well, and his master was going to fire him. So he called the people that owed money to his master, and he cut some deals. He's known as the shrewd servant. But at the end of this parable, Jesus says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So, what about you? I want you to think about it for a minute. Where is your treasure? What is the focus of your time and your attention and your resources? Because remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's kind of like if Jesus is saying this, look, I know your heart is going to follow your stuff, and I don't want to compete with that. I want your heart, and since your heart tends to follow your stuff, then I want you to surrender all your stuff to me. I don't want your money, and I don't want your stuff. In fact, I don't really need anything that you have. All I want is your heart. So where is your heart? I want to tell you a story about four people. These four people had strange names. There was everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And they kind of have an interesting story. Let me share it with you. It goes like this. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Consequently, it wound up that nobody told anybody, so everybody blamed somebody. God wants us to express gratitude. And that gratitude is realizing that He owns all the French fries. And He shares them with us. It all belongs to Him. We are but stewards of His resources. So in this first week of this sermon series, Too Much, Living with Less in the Land of More, I want to give you this challenge for this week. I want to challenge you to spy on your money. I want you to track where every dollar goes. If you're familiar with Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University, he tells you to do that all the time anyway. Every dollar should have a place to go. The times we get into trouble is we don't have that plan. But a lot of times the first thing to do is to investigate, where is your money going? So I want to challenge you to track just this week. And I want you to remember that it's not your money. You're simply a steward of God's resources. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this message from Moses. As the people were coming out of slavery, they had a lot to be thankful for. But the truth of the matter is, they grumbled and complained all the way to the promised land, and it ended up taking them a long time to get there. And even when they entered the promised land, they didn't always obey, and they got tripped up by the worship of the gods of the people who had lived there. And Father, the same thing can be true for us, those who follow Jesus, who have been freed from the slavery of sin by your grace. And now you've put us in a land of more. And now you've asked us to be responsible with our resources. And as many of us have done pretty well, we need to heed the warning that Moses gave the Israelites to not get proud in this season of plenty, thinking that we did this ourselves. You are the God who created everything and who owns everything. And everything that we have comes from you. So Lord, as we talk about these things over the next few weeks, help us to develop that heart of gratitude. Help us to remember that where our treasure is, our heart will follow. And help us this week to take up the challenge of spying on our money, tracking where things go so we can find out where our heart is also going. Lord, we are so blessed to live in the land of more, but help us not fall into the temptation of valuing our stuff more than we value our relationship with you. Help us to remember you, Lord. Help us to obey you, Lord. And help us to develop hearts of gratitude because of your love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
How can I build your kingdom if I'm building my own? How can you be my treasure if I'm digging for gold? My heart has grown cold. How can you be my future if I made this my home? How can I? How can I?